Hysteria is brought to you by Nutrafol. Alyssa, something they don't tell you about
what
having kids when if after you have them, mm-hmm. Your hair sort of sheds. You start to shed, and there's a really awkward growing back phase that takes a very, very long time if left to its own devices.
Do you mean like in perimenopause when you shed hair and then you grow bangs at 50 because all your baby hairs start growing?
I have little bangs now too.
Yes, your baby bangs start growing back in when you start estrogen and Nutrafol.
Mm-hmm. I started taking Nutrafol prophylactically because I knew that this was
coming.
You were
smart.
I was smart. I knew it was coming. And so it wasn't nearly as bad the second time around as it was the first time around. You've probably seen a million ads for hair growth products and thought, sure, like that actually works. Nutrafol actually does work. Nutrafol
it
is
does
not
work.
Like the
Look,
rest of them.
It's it coming
is,
back.
It's yeah, I mean, I did the mom chop, which I
mean, I
realized.
Your hair looks gorgeous.
Oh, thank
mine's
you.
Mine's got a mountain to climb, but it's getting there.
Well, I mean, it's because I've been taking Nutrafol for like 6 months at this point.
Fair. So I just started.
If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding, but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I get it. There are so many products out there, and it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything. That is why I gave Nutrafol a closer look. It's not just hype. It's physician-formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists and at least three members of the Hysteria team. Me, you. And somebody from behind the scenes.
Look, Nutrafol works. It's the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol's offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Hysteria10. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Hysteria10. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Hysteria10.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, I was inspired by our First Lady, Melania Trump, and I asked ChatGPT to write us a cold open this week.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it to you because it's very funny. I said, a cold open for a podcast hosted by two people. Host one, curious tone. You ever stumble on something totally random and then realize you can't stop thinking about it? Host two, Riley. Like the guy who lived in an airport for 18 years? Or why pigeons bob their heads when they walk?
Pigeons do bob their heads when they walk.
I mean, anyway, this is a ChatGPT. AI is not replacing us anytime soon.
No, we're safe.
No. According to this ChatGPT-generated opening, every week we dig into the strange, surprising, or just plain overlooked things that actually say a lot about how we live now.
Pitch.
Let's get into it. Fun show today.
I thought you were just talking to me. I was like, yeah, fun show today. No, it's fun show today, Erin.
Yeah, fun show today. A little under the hood for the listeners. We don't always record things in the order that you hear them. And
no.
The first thing that we recorded for today's show was an interview with the Hunting Wives, Katie Lowes. She's also from Scandal and Waitress and a bunch of other stuff.
It was gleeful.
Gleeful. I have to say her energy is top notch.
She kicked us off just right.
I've barely touched the coffee that I have today. And I feel
I'm amped.
Because Katie Lowes is just such good energy. Mm-hmm. We also talk about the news, though. The news, not so good energy, but we had that Katie Lowes touch going into it. So
yeah.
I feel like we were feeling pretty good.
We were a little sassy.
We were a little sassy. We talk about Melania Trump's letter to Putin that I'm sure solved the war. Good job,
about
Melania.
Nothing. Thanks, Melania.
You solved it once again. Be best.
We talked about Gavin Newsom taking over social media.
Oh, it's the funniest thing that has happened. It is like the only joy that I've felt since the turn of this.
It's an enjoy it while you can.
And it's an enjoy
not
it while
to,
you can situation.
Not to quote your newsletter.
Oh, yes. But thank you for quoting that. But yeah, Gavin Newsom has a new social media strategy and a sort of FAFO strategy. Mm-hmm. And for right now, this is what we got. So we're going with Gavin for now. We also talk a little bit about the insidious ways that the Trump administration is trying to and succeeding at pushing women out of the workforce and how costly that can be. If you leave the workforce for childcare, to care for an aging parent, or simply because you can't handle household responsibilities and return to office mandates anymore, it's going to fall on you, ladies. And
yep.
The cost is much higher than you think it's actually going to be. We also get into a interesting solution for a serious public health problem.
Money.
Give people money. We also have Sandy Petty. We're both petty this week. It had to happen. It's fine. We're fine. But it's a great show. Stick around. Here it comes. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that wants to know what happens to the cross necklaces that Caroline Leavitt stops wearing. Does she burn them? Does she burn them?
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, after South Park made fun of her, not saying that these two things were related, but after South Park made fun of her, she stopped wearing her giant early 90s hip-hop artist cross necklace.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened. RIP to that cross necklace.
Yeah, I bet it makes a comeback.
I'm sure it'll make a comeback, and it'll be like bejeweled. And the T actually in a cross necklace for modern MAGA movement stands for Trump. It's actually not a Jesus symbol at all.
Oh, boy.
She's going to come back with like a giant, like Flava Flav clock-sized cross. Because like as she said this week, she and Donald Trump are trying to get to heaven.
Aren't we all?
All right. Speaking of the Trump family.
Ugh. Aaron. Trump hand-delivered. Here's a hot one. Melania's back in the news. Melania decided to get back in the news for a minute. Trump hand-delivered to Putin a handwritten letter from Melania during their meeting at military base in Alaska. At first, the letter was private, of course, but Trump went to post a photo of it on Truth Social. The gist of the letter was to implore Putin to think of the children without directly referring to the problems the children are facing or even explicitly mentioning Ukraine. Erin, here are some things Melania failed to mention in her letter. She didn't mention that 716 children have been killed, 2,000 have been injured, 730,000 children have been forced to flee to safer areas within the country, 1.7 million have become refugees. According to the Yale Humanitarian Lab research, it estimates 19,000 children have been deported from Ukraine to Russia. It's identified 314 Ukrainian children forcibly adopted into Russian families, over 8,400 children relocated to at least 57 facilities in Russia and Belarus. Russia's presidential commissioner for children's rights, Maria Lvova-Belova, has been indicted by the International Criminal Court for the forced deportation of Ukraine's children. These kidnappings include indoctrination and military training and re-education. Russia has designated a cadet school for these children from Ukraine, creating a direct pipeline into federal security service. But as I said, Melania, of course, didn't include any of that information. But Trump said the letter was well received. The Kremlin has yet to make any public statement about it. And just one thing that I thought you'd appreciate, just as an FYI, according to Variety, Melania's documentary, for which she will receive $40 million in licensing fees from Amazon Studios, has been set to be released in the second half of 2025. I believe we are in the second half of 2025. Just saying.
Oh, God. Okay, so that letter, the letter was, like, so obviously written by ChatGPT.
100%.
I think somebody ran it through Grok and was like, hey, what's the likelihood that, like, a large language model, because I hate calling it AI. AI is marketing. It's not artificial intelligence. It's just guessing what word comes next. It guessed, like, an 85% chance that it was written by an LLM. I tried a little of it myself. I'm not a ChatGPT user because I find the information that comes out of ChatGPT is most of the time very unreliable unless you're like hyper specific and you know exactly what you're looking for. So it doesn't really like it's sort of like a slightly better than Google right now, but you have to like ask a very, very specific question. Otherwise, it'll give you a dumb answer. So I asked it, to, first of all, I asked ChatGPT to write a letter to President Putin from Melania Trump, and it was like, I'm not helping you with that. Fine. I was like, write a letter to President Putin from an Eastern European socialite living in America that is about children. And they wrote something that was sort of like, as an Eastern European socialite living in America, and I was like, no. So I asked a third question. Write a letter to President Putin from an Eastern European socialite living in America that doesn't mention the fact that she's an Eastern European socialite.
Okay.
And mentions the sound of children's laughter and uses flowery language. And what it came up with sounds very similar to what Melania Trump's letter came up with. I'm going to read mine.
Okay.
And I'm not going to do the accent.
All right. That's
you're welcome, America. Dear President Putin, there is no sound more pure, more divine than a child's laughter, a melody untouched by politics, power, or pride. It is the music of innocence, the bright echo of a world still full of wonder. And yet, across lands torn by war, that laughter has fallen silent. Bombs have replaced lullabies. Sirens drown out bedtime stories. Where once there were giggles in playgrounds, now there is only the heavy silence of fear. The war has stolen from children what no nation has the right to take, their sense of safety, their joy, their voice. Now, that's only the first paragraph. I had just asked it to write two paragraphs. This is much more direct and like than Melania's letter. Melania's letter was like, something keeps happening
something
to these kids.
Something is going on.
Yeah, something, these children are receiving this poor treatment, and I'm just writing a letter letting you know that it's happening. Whereas this letter is like, hey, President Putin, from ChatGPT, you can stop this. Anyway, it's a poorly written, navel-gazing, like, gauzy letter that is obviously designed as part of, like, her campaign to present herself as some kind of relevant public figure that is interesting and worthy of being paid attention to. Yeah.
It's boring.
I mean, also, the thing that stuck out to me is, like, identifying the plight of children in Ukraine is essential and important, and it should point more fingers at Vladimir Putin for the horrifying things that are being done to them. They're literally like stealing babies,
yeah,
like the Nazis did. Like the Nazis, the Nazis stole babies, and that's what Russia is doing. They're stealing babies, but you know, it also brings into light the fact that the Trump administration really treats the humanity of children from different parts in the world differently, depending on what part of the world they live on. Like the plight of children in Gaza, not a peep. Not a peep from Melania Trump. There was a part of me when I read this where I was like, she's just aping Ms. Rachel. It's like Ms. Rachel has been like—
Well, look at all the USAID money they took away from the entire continent of Africa.
Yeah.
That was— Right. All of that, you know, fortified peanut butter that could have saved thousands of children's lives, which is meant expressly for that, they let rot in a warehouse.
Well, here's the Trump administration way of dealing with problems. You run up to someone and you punch them directly in the dick. And then Melania appears and is like, this dick punching needs to stop. And then the Trump administration issues an ice pack and is like, look at us solve this dick punching problem.
It's a very good analogy. Caused.
I mean, it's very frustrating to like. I think nobody in the media really fell for this, unless you're really
no.
Like,
it was stupid.
Unless you're completely like foxholed, never going to get out. Whatever. But yeah, it was dumb. And but I don't know. Melania thinks she's doing something.
I don't really care. Do you?
I really don't care. Do you? Also, why does her signature look like Donald Trump's signature?
So weird.
It's weird. I mean, she did plagiarize part of a speech that she delivered.
From Michelle Obama.
From Michelle Obama at the Republican convention. So, like, the audacity of this family to copy
knows
things,
no bounds.
Yeah, absolutely knows no bounds. So, like, whatever. Fuck Melania. Melania is such a, ugh. Fuck Melania. Like, seriously. Transitioning. Governor Gavin Newsom. Newsom. Okay.
He's on the move.
He's on the move. He's moving and shaking. He's doing things. Governor Gavin Newsom, my governor, my psycho.
We've all got one.
He's our psychopath, as we say. Governor Gavin Newsom has taken over our social timelines the past couple of weeks with loads of Trump trolling tweets, TikToks, and reels. He also is like taking real action that isn't on social media, initiating a move by California to redistrict between censuses and in time for the 2026 congressional elections in a way that will offset the Texas gerrymandering that's happening right now. So, like, right now, we are in a Gavin Newsom is having a moment. But it's not just an empty social media strategy. Gavin is fighting fire with fire. He has been tweeting out things like in exactly the same style and language
as
Trump.
Which is genuinely hilarious.
So the head of his press office right now is a woman named Camille Zapata, who is like a genius.
Yeah.
And like maybe my new god. She's amazing.
Understands the assignment.
What was your favorite Gavin Newsom troll tweet of Trump?
Oh, I can't even pick one. I mean, it's just I wake up and my Instagram is full of all caps letters. The one where he said, oh, the one where he talked about how Dana Perino was melting down. That one was very funny.
Oh, my God. That one was my favorite was the visual ones. I love when he uses like AI generated. I saw one AI generated one of him carrying a bunch of chickens.
Or yes,
kittens out of a burning building dressed as a firefighter. But he's got like four hands because it's
there's
AI
like,
generated.
Someone on TikTok has done a good job of turning them all into something and then they're set to music. And so I just see them all cascade past my.
I mean, like he's doing something real. Like Fox News doesn't really know how to handle it because he's doing exactly what Donald Trump does. And they're having these conversations where they're like, isn't he immature? He's acting so immature. And it's
This was my favorite tweet. I found it. All in caps. Dana Ding Dong Perino, never heard of her until today, is melting down because of me, Gavin C. Newsom. Fox hates that I am America's most favorite governor, ratings king, saving America, while Trump can't even conquer the big stairs on Air Force One anymore. Trump has lost his step and Fox is losing it because when I type, America now wins. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I hate Kid Rock.
Okay, my very favorite one was the AI generated one of dead Hulk Hogan.
That was very good.
And Kid Rock and Tucker Carlson doing a prayer over him and with the words, so nice. And there was also like a Mount Rushmore with Gavin Newsom's head on
it. Yes.
And which I think is like very fun. I mean, also like personally, I think we should blow up Mount Rushmore and like return.
You've said that for years.
And return Western South Dakota to the Native Americans. Like it is egregious what white people have done to that beautiful part of the country. Give it back to the people who are not going to turn it into a souvenir stand tourist trap. But regardless, I digress. I think one thing that I've noticed in this, like, Gavin moment is I've gotten some messages on social media that are like, you know he's not nice to homeless people. Right?
Oh, gosh.
Like, you know he's not. And it's like, bitch, I know.
Several things can be true.
I know. Look, somebody said, you know, if our house is on fire, we can't be mad that we're not having, like, filtered water through ethically sourced, like, green garden hose. You know, like, look.
There's not one perfect politician out there.
No, Dance with Ubracha, right?
Yeah.
And Gavin Newsom is, like, the one that is willing to dance. He's dancing. You know what? Fine. I'll get on the floor. Like, you know what? He's in it. And, like, right now what we need to do is stop Republicans from doing more damage to this country than they've already done. We need to minimize the amount of damage that they've done to people. We need to get the secret police off of the streets of Washington, D.C. and L.A. And if you live in any major American city, coming to a major American city near you, we need to fucking stop this. And if Gavin Newsom is willing to stand up and, like, irritate the Trump team and take steps.
Let it be.
Like, we need a bomb thrower. We need someone who's willing to just, like, and I really, right now, we'll fight about his position on how to handle the unhoused later.
Right.
Right? That is not what I'm in. That's not what I'm here for.
But like, for now, putting pictures of him in high school where he looks like handsome Noah Wiley next to J.D. Vance, who looks like a garbage pail kid, that's funny.
That is funny. It's funny because that's what those people care about.
Yes. Like, it's doing what they've done.
Right. And another funny moment from Newsom's social media was he said, thank you, Nancy Mace, under a picture of
that was funny.
man with frizzy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Lauren lost her shit. She was like, well, the tolerant left. And Newsom responded, you sound woke. Or his, you know, his social media said, you sound woke. I mean, I think it's, the point is, like, first of all, Nancy Mace is a transphobe, and she does have frizzy bad hair. And she that does. Is something that Donald Trump would absolutely make fun of if, yeah. like, Donald Trump were a Democrat. So, like, we need our own Trump. We need, and, like.
And by someone who is very good at social media.
And somebody who is also, like, I think Donald Trump is a vain man. Mm-hmm. Like, and mm-hmm. the MAGA ideology is a vain ideology that emphasizes a type of purchased, like, look. Mar-a-Lago face is a thing because vanity is part of the Mar-a-Lago ideology. Like, vanity.
Right.
And Gavin Newsom is hot. He is a handsome, handsome man.
Since
with
the beginning.
Beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. Who is, like, we've had her on the show before. She's a filmmaker. She's brilliant. She is almost too pretty. You're like, you know what, Jennifer? That's enough. You're too pretty.
Just do your thing.
I just think the fact that Gavin Newsom and his family look more like a TV president than Donald Trump at this point. And that to I feel like that must drive him crazy.
The slick of Gavin's hair is akin to Michael Douglas when he played Andrew Shepherd.
Wow.
Just saying, Sorkin. He's got Sorkin-y hair.
He does have Sorkin-y hair. And he really brings home the fact that, like, you know, politics are Hollywood for ugly people. And Hollywood is where the, you know, whatever. California,
listen.
Of course, we're going to bring, like, a really good... Here, I want to just say this, though, before we move on to the next thing we need to move on to. Mm-hmm. I am anti-zatifying politicians and pretending that they're all going to fix every problem. You know, like with Andrew Cuomo during the pandemic, people were getting like real weird about Cuomo.
The Cuomo sexuals.
Yeah, the Cuomo sexuals, like whatever. Like, I want to make it clear that I am in it with Gavin for as long as we need Gavin to win this stage of the fight. You know? And as soon as things are not like imminently dangerous, and as soon as people are no longer being kidnapped off the street, that's when I'm like prepared to change my mind about Gavin Newsom. Like if
right.
he's not willing to like to implement to advocate for policies that are in line with my morality, then I am going to criticize him. And that doesn't make me a hypocrite. That makes me a practical person. That makes
right.
me a pragmatist.
Also, we're just allowed to criticize people. No one's a soup. No one's rock star. This isn't Beyonce. This isn't Taylor Swift.
Right.
People who are elected to do jobs, and they don't always do the right thing in their job, and therefore mm-hmm. we should talk about it.
But trolling Trump is the right thing. Redistricting California mid-cycle is the right thing.
He's the first person to really do it well. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just let him have at it and let that be that for now.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more news. Hysteria is brought to you by Cantrip Drinks. Cantrip seltzers and sodas are made with real, naturally extracted D9 THC from hemp and are the perfect option to unwind at the end of the day. Bonus, unlike a lot of other THC drinks, these actually taste great and offer you multiple options from orange soda to blackberry lavender seltzer to even diet cola. Alyssa,
I love it.
Love this stuff.
I love it. And you know I'm a connoisseur. I have tried them all.
You've tried them.
And I love Cantrip.
You are like a sommelier. You are THC derivative sommelier.
I am, and I love these. They're delicious.
They're so good. I think one thing that I don't like about like infused sodas, like THC or CBD, like sodas infused mm-hmm. with that, is sometimes they have a little bit of a like planty taste. And I feel like these are really not. Like they
delicious. And I have to tell you, one of the things about perimenopause, I got the worst heartburn and I really couldn't drink wine anymore. And so these have been my 5:30 wind down and I am forever grateful to Cantrip. Mm-hmm.
I am taking a pause on drinking for a little bit and it's a great alternative to alcohol. It's just,
absolutely,
if you were trying to go California sober, it's like a nice way to wind down at the end of the day. It almost is like a little, it's like spritzy, like a little cocktail.
It is spritzy, and it has exactly like what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's a great alternative to alcohol. Like I said, it's a nice mellow vibe.
Mm-hmm.
No hangover regrets from like booze next day. It's legal to consume nationwide and ships to most places in the U.S. Check out our options at drinkcantrip.com. That's can trip, not catnip, which is something that I actually thought it said when I first was like reading the copy. Cantrip.com, and take 30% off your first order with code hysteria at checkout. That's drinkcantrip.com, code hysteria. Cantrip is only for adults age 21 and over, so please drink responsibly. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the anti-broligarchy podcast. And before you say, hey, Aaron, there you go again with your nonsense pop portmanteaus. Broligarchy is now in the dictionary. It is officially in the Cambridge Dictionary, along with tradwife, delulu, skibbity.
What does skibbity mean?
I ask somebody under 25. They'll tell you.
Okay.
And mouse jiggler. Yeah. All of these words are now in the dictionary, so you can be the most annoying person in your next game of Scrabble. Can you imagine trying to play skibbity against, like, your grandma? She'd be like, what the fuck?
No, I'm, like, the most basic Scrabble player, though. Sometimes people are like, are you playing to win? I'm like, no, I'm just enjoying being
skibbity
here.
Skibbity is going to be a great Scrabble.
It is
got
good.
Three I's in it.
It uses up a lot of the weird letters.
I mean, you get three I's. You got, you're quite a ways toward skibbity. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some jiggery pokery, as we would say, which has probably been in the dictionary for much longer than skibbity, when it comes to Bureau of Labor Statistics data.
Oh, Aaron, it's nonstop. With all the hubbub surrounding Trump replacing the head of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, an alarming fact about the contents of the jobs report had fallen by the wayside. A whopping 212,000 women ages 20 and up have left the workforce since January. So what's causing this mass exodus? Well, a lot. For one, in 2025, work-from-home flexibility has been broadly revoked, and businesses asking employees to return to the office full-time has jumped by 24%. No coincidence that in January of this year, Trump mandated federal employees to return to the office 5 days a week, and with 12% of the federal workforce being comprised of Black women, they have undoubtedly been hit the hardest. So, Aaron, is this a targeted attack on women in the workforce? Maybe? Probably?
Absolutely. We've been saying—
Of course it is.
Return to office mandates are a direct attack on caregivers, which are almost overwhelmingly women. People caring for children, people caring for other family members, almost all women. And working from home gives people the flexibility to do things like school pickups, to do things like running people to medical appointments, to do things like, you know, you have a set amount of work, and if you just get it done at some point during the day, then you can also, like, do your laundry.
Yep.
Make sure that they're, you know, wipe down your counters, do basic tasks around the house, and return to office mandates make it so that those things are not possible anymore. The things that women would do when they were able to work at home, now they can't do those things. But they still need to get done.
I work at home and I am nonstop working all day, doing all the things. Another contributing factor is the federal relief funding for childcare, which had dramatically declined in 2025, has forced many childcare centers that offered lower tuition to either raise tuition or close entirely. There's that. And then lastly, Trump's mass deportations of immigrants have started to affect the industry as well. 20% of childcare providers are immigrants, and the National Women's Law Center has reported that even if immigrant childcare workers did have legal status, they're either too afraid to go to work or may have lost their own childcare and therefore have to stay home themselves.
Okay, so leaving the workforce, women hate it when I say this, especially if they're like, they have young kids and they're like, I think I'm just going to stay home. But The math is this. Here are the numbers. And obviously there are other reasons to leave the workforce or not besides just raw numbers. Your mental health, if this is what you truly want to do. But I think a lot of people go into this like, oh, well, my work doesn't pay for childcare. Like, you know what I mean? I barely make enough money to pay for childcare. The long-term costs of a woman, usually it's a woman who drops out of the workforce to like fill these childcare gaps or fill these responsibility gaps,
The hidden cost is so massive in long term. Like the Center for American Progress put out a calculator called The Hidden Cost of a Failing Childcare System. And I'm just going to plug some numbers in just so that people get like a sense, okay? Like let's say you're a woman and you're 31 and you currently make, let's say, $75,000 a year, right? That's like an income where like in a super high cost of living, it would be hard for some people to justify returning to paying for childcare. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so let's say you started working full-time at 22, you're going to take time off at 32, and you're going to be out of the labor force for 5 years for when mm-hmm. your baby goes to kindergarten. So, okay, female, 31 years old, $75,000 current salary, you're going to take some time off, you're going to take 5 years off. Here's how much money that's going to cost you long-term. $890,473.
It's fucking crazy.
And it's on you. It's on the woman. Like this, and this is not just like, you know, it's on the household entirely, but like the woman is the one that bears the most risk for this because if her household, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, splits up. It is like, it is so, the cost of a failing childcare system and the cost of RTO and the cost of women leaving the workforce put so much risk and vulnerability into those women's homes and onto those women themselves. And I really think that that's part of the Trump administration agenda. They want to make it really hard to be a woman that exists in the world without hitching herself to a high-earning man.
Well, what if we gave women some money?
I feel like that might be a good idea. Why don't we give women some money? So, interesting study came out this week from Oxford and UC Berkeley, and it found that the best way to reduce infant mortality in Kenya was give women money. Give women money.
What do you know?
They found that a one-time unconditional cash transfer of $1,000 to new mothers in rural Kenya around the time of birth reduced infant mortality by 49% and under 5 mortality by 45%. The transfers were provided to 10,500 poor households. So that is a big study.
Yeah.
Across 653 randomized villages in Kenya and were equivalent to around 75% of annual household income. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would mean in the US giving people like 50 grand. Right.
Right.
But the reduction like can be attributed basically first of all, stress is bad for pregnancy. Stress mm-hmm. is bad for babies. And so alleviating monetary stress is probably something that helps. But also, they found that giving women money made them more willing to seek obstetric care, improved nutrition for their families, and mm-hmm. allowed them to rest during pregnancy and after delivery because they didn't have to go like immediately back to work and start earning money because they had a little extra money. Experts emphasize that accessing healthcare is what makes the biggest difference, but cash is what made the difference for access in many cases. So give women money. And
Thing is, Erin, every time they do this, studies have been done in Michigan. There's actually a universal basic income study being done in Hudson, New York. And every time they do these studies, the outcomes so outweigh the financial incentive that was given in the first place. Like, mm-hmm. it is an outsized outcome in the quality of life and what people are able to do. And the arguments against it are so cynical. They think people are going to, like, get this money and go buy a fucking handbag or something. And it's like, no, people are buying food. They're able to keep their houses. They're able to get, like, books for school. It is just, it's so easy to see how we could make people's lives like this is by a return on them, investment
by just that, giving them money. Also, yes. Like this is something that's always bothered me. Okay, it's unconditional, right? So you can't yeah. like it's not like SNAP or WIC where it's like, oh, you can't buy this, you can't buy this, right. You can't buy this. It's unconditional, right? Like congressional salaries. We give them the money and mm-hmm. they can spend it however they want. I feel like that's right. This is unconditional, and I think that the fact that people are afraid that they're going to spend it on something frivolous is a real betrayal of, like, a cynicism and lack of faith in people's ability. People care about their kids. That's how they spend money. When you give them money, they spend it on their kids.
And overwhelmingly, it is disproved time after time in these trials.
I just, you know, we were talking about Gavin Newsom and having, like, a bomb-throwing progressive. Mm-hmm. I really think that whoever Democrats nominate to be president in 2028, if there's an election in 2028, should really take Trump-like swings and say, like, okay, whatever, I think that congressional salaries and money paid by the federal government should be subject to the same stipulations as SNAP benefits recipients and WIC recipients. Like, whatever. I don't want my congressman going out there buying soda. I want my congressman. I don't want him buying junk food. My tax money is paying for this. My congressman should not be out there buying, like, super processed foods. I think there should be a list of foods. I want my congressman to be healthy. And so I think that I feel like we should be like, no, everybody who receives a federal income is subject to the same. Why not?
I don't know. I just
think it makes a good
point.
It's
really hard to get by on my federal salary. I'm just laughing.
I'm just saying. I think that Medicaid recipients should get the same health care that congressmen get. Whatever.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. 100%.
I think whatever like restrictions Congress people put on aid to the poor, they should also have on the income that they make from tax. It's the same taxpayer money. It's from the same pool. Why did they get to do it?
Well,
we
won't have federal employees by the time of the Trump administration anyway.
I mean, honestly, it's going to be – Washington, D.C. is going to be like the Beverly Center, just like a weird, shiny, abandoned mall that you go in there and you're like, I don't like it in here. I think it's hiding an oil drilling apparatus. The vibes are off. Is it haunted?
It'll 100% be haunted.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got an interview with one of the stars from the show that saved our sanities collectively this summer. Cannot wait for you guys to hear it.
Hysteria is brought to you by AG1. AG1 is the drinkable multivitamin with gut health support, and now they're introducing AG1 Next Gen, 3 new flavors with all the benefits of the original AG1. Some of the new flavors include tropical, vibrant, and fruity, tastes like papaya and passion fruit, berry, subtle and sweet, berry tastes like blueberry and strawberry, and citrus, sweet and tangy, citrus tastes like lemon and orange. And of course, you can still get AG1 Original with the subtle sweetness of pineapple and vanilla.
One scoop of AG1 contains your multivitamin, pre and probiotics, superfoods, and antioxidants into one delicious daily habit. Can I just say, I have the citrus flavor. My husband is hoarding it. He has taken
what?
It. He has bogarted it. He has kidnapped it. It is in. He is.
It's the citrus is my favorite too.
He saw that I had brought it home. I was like, you know, new AG1. And he was like, yoink. And he absolutely loves it. He's on kind of a fitness, like, self-care, wellness kick. And every morning I see him in the kitchen, you know, like bending over, like protecting it from me so I can't get it, stirring it into his little drink so he feels great for the rest of the day. And, man, marriage is great, isn't it? you know, he really does like it. I've tried it before. I'm not, like, he literally has, like, kidnapped the AG1. He will not let me fully have access to it. But because he is somebody who tends to be pretty picky about what he puts in his body and how things taste, I gotta say, his endorsement, you know, it's pretty high praise.
Tried and true. Make your daily health drink more flavorful. Give the new AG1 flavors a try today. Head to drinkag1.com/hysteria. When you subscribe, you'll get a free welcome kit worth $76 that includes 5 AG1 travel packs, a shaker, canister, and scoop. That's drinkag1.com/hysteria to get started.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are convinced that they could survive in Maplebrook, Texas for at least a few weeks, but would probably end up dying during the second episode of The Hunting Wives is the town. The Hunting Wives is where Maplebrook, Texas comes from. It is the scandalous, twisty Netflix mystery that has us all in a chokehold this summer. I just finished it yesterday after like 5 attempts. I've got like 2 little kids taking all my time and I just finished it yesterday and I was like live texting the Hysteria crew like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
And please tell me your children like were not in the room.
They were not. No. Okay. I like went home in the middle of the day. It is not a show for kids. When I pause it to go to the kitchen or whatever, I like turn my television off so that people aren't like, what is this lady
watching?
Oh my
watching? God, people are watching it on planes. And I'm like,
I did.
It is not.
Wow.
Good for internal you. Seat.
Internal seat next to my best friend.
I feel like every time I watch, I get into like a soapy show, I could make like a bingo card. And this one would have just blown my bingo card out of the water. It had everything. Like, it feels like a setup for a Stefan joke from SNL. Like, it had jabs at Governor
Abbott. For the clubs. It really does.
Texas's hottest club is Maple Brook. It's got everything. Secret families.
Oh, my God. I love
it. Abortions.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Governor Greg Abbott.
Full frontal nudity from men and women.
It's got pegging. It's got a hot pink strap on.
Yes.
Final boss of the boy moms. And speaking of final boss of the boy moms, we have actress Katie Lowes with us today. She plays Jill or Jilly Bean, the gun-toting pastor's wife, final boy mom. Boss, and she has got a lot of secrets, and maybe one of the greatest final lines that
in all of television history.
In all of television history, I feel like we could just be like, "This is it. This is the best final line ever." Kate, we're so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. I could talk about Hunting Wives all day.
Well, you're going to.
Great. That's what I've been doing. I love it.
So we loved it. It was insane in the best way. First, there are several things we need to know up front.
Okay.
How were you approached for Hunting Wives? What did you think of the script? Did you have to audition?
Yes.
And was your hair big?
Okay. Love you. Love all these questions. So the strike had just finished, and it was maybe my first or second audition back. And I actually auditioned for Callie, played by the amazing Jamie Ray Newman. She's got the long red hair.
The worst wig.
Yeah.
She's got the worst wig.
Oh, yeah, that one is the worst wig.
You said it. I didn't. So I auditioned for that role, and we're friends. Jamie Ray Newman and I have been friends for 20 years. Our kids go to the same elementary school. They're, like, within a year of each other, similar ages. And I knew that we both auditioned for Callie. And I read the script. Can I curse on this?
Yes, absolutely.
I fucking loved it. I was like jonesing. I mean, look, we hadn't all worked in a year. We had been on strike. And I was like, this is the juiciest, most fun. I'm a theater actress, so it felt like theatrical. It felt like all the favorite things that I love in A Desperate Housewives, Dallas, Dynasty, like big, go big or go home type vibe, which I just was really in the mood for. And I read it and I said, oh shit, I'm a Jill. I knew Jill was a 1-year deal and she was going to die, which is why everybody was auditioning for Callie, because that is a job that has longevity.
Right.
And I read it and I was like, I'm not a Callie, I'm a Jill. It's like knowing you're a Charlotte over a Carrie or a Miranda, whatever. Like, I'm a Jill. So Rebecca Cutter, who is the showrunner and is a big Scandal fan, and bless her heart, because she is creative enough to not just think that I can only do Quinn and Quinn is it. I made a tape for Jill. I knew they were interested. They wanted to offer me the role. And then I see Jamie Ray Newman and she's like, Katie, I think they're going to offer me Callie, because she knew that I had auditioned for that role also. And she was sort of like letting me down easy as a dear friend. We've been friends forever. And I said, Jamie, I think I'm going to get Jill. And she was like, what? And I was like, I think pack your bags, bitch. We're going to Charlotte, North Carolina. And we better start working on this accent. And we left our babies in LA. And she and I together probably did something close to 13 round trip flights in 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
From Charlotte to LA. And it was awesome.
Did you get to read all the episodes?
No, I read the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Hightown, which is Rebecca Cutter's other show, which, by the way, if you're a Hunting Wives fan and you're looking for what other thing you can binge this summer, Hightown is also on Netflix. And I really – I liked that she was so different than Quinn. I, like, loved that it was a Southern accent. I loved – I did go in for Jill with a big side teased hair, 100%. And honey, that's all my natural hair. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh.
We knew.
That is my hair.
So besides getting a whatever, like, late night infomercial hair teasing implement to get your hair big, how else did you prepare for the role? Like, were you religious growing up? How did you learn the accent? How did that all work?
Yes. I feel like I've had to do a Southern accent a few times. My husband and I made our Broadway debuts in a musical called Waitress. Mm-hmm. That takes place in a Southern town. I can't remember where. Oops, sorry. so I had done it there. And I'd worked on it in scene classes over the years. So it wasn't – it needed polishing for sure. And there was a great accent coach on set with us for a while. But so I had one in my back pocket that was passable for the audition. And then what was your other question?
I mean, were you religious growing up? Oh, did any of it feel
no!
Like-
I'm from New York. When I ended up, like, testing for the role, like, so I sent in my first audition tape, and then I knew they were interested, and then I went back in for Jilly Bean with Rebecca and our producer, Irwin, and the director of the pilot, Julianne Robinson. Oh, that also helped me get the job, because the director of the pilot had directed a ton of Scandal.
Mm.
So we had a nice working relationship, and she worked with me, like, in the audition on what they were looking for and all that. But no, I was not religious at all. My mother's Jewish. My dad is Irish Catholic. I grew up in New York. My mother literally talks like this, like a fucking like Queens girl. Like, and I was not raised religiously at all. I mean, we did Christmas because my dad's mom was like super into it. I grew up in Long Island that was predominantly Jewish. So I went to a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, but I was not bat mitzvahed. And then I ended up marrying this handsome super Jew by the name of Adam Shapiro. So like there is like, you know, we do Passover and Hanukkah and things like that. And, but no, I mean, I remember getting into the church, although I have played a, I've played religious people a few times. I don't know what it says about me, but, but no, I thought the whole thing. And again, like kudos to them. I think sometimes I find myself auditioning only for things that are like you, like an extension of yourself. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than getting to really act and like dig in and play something that's nothing like you or what you know. It's like why we do this. Like I love getting to try on and play different types of people. It's the best.
Mm-hmm. So the show is just it's just a complete like murderer's row of everything crazy that can happen in a TV show, like just plot twist after plot twist. Yeah. And I think it gets what it is. It's designed to shock audiences. Yes. Like which, as an actor in the show, which plot twist shocked you the most?
Oh my God. I mean, God, there's so many. I mean, there's so many shows also within the show. I mean, the detective played by Kaden Rodriguez, who's a brilliant actress. I mean, that's like a whole other special show. Oh, my God. The Pastor Pete.
Oh, poor Pastor Pete.
Oh, my God.
What a mess.
I knew something was off with him.
It was like, the beanie.
It's the beanie.
That whole storyline was just like really like, oh, my God, that's in the show. I mean, that was super shocking. You know, I'm over here to the left playing Never Have I Ever with the wives, which is like a fucking blast, you know? And then later on down the show, you know, people are – there's like really like difficult, huge things. I got to tell you though, that pegging scene, I was like, wow, like this show is
– and they're doing it.
And I'm so excited to be on it. Like I'm like this is – I mean I would watch – like I'm not always on things that I would watch. Mm-hmm. I would watch the shit out of this show. Like no question. My type of show.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just, like, this is why I watch TV. Like, I want to escape. I want to be entertained. I want to be shocked. I want it to be sexy. I want it to be fun. I want it to be campy. It has all of that sauce in it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the season's true villain? Who do you
who
think
is that?
Who do you think the true villain is in the show?
Margot. No?
Oh, we think it's Sophie's husband.
Sophie's husband.
Oh, Evan Jonikite.
He sucks.
I'm dead. I mean, I just think it's Margot because she's the one who killed her. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, she's the villain. But and everyone's like, this is giving me such Scandal vibes sometimes because, you know, Olivia Pope murders somebody in like season 5 or 6. I can't remember who, but I think it's like the vice president or something. She like beats him with a chair. And nobody gives a crap. Like everyone's like, yeah, but she's Olivia Pope and she's the best. And like her moral compass is the best thing. That's how people feel about Margot Banks. Like she can do no wrong.
She's
like,
a white hat.
It doesn't matter. She's a white hat. Doesn't fucking matter. Nobody cares. Like we love her. We're on her side forever. Okay. Evan Jonikite's role. What's his name again?
Graham.
Graham! You guys, please excuse me, but I shot this over a year ago, and I have two small children, so what sticks is always interesting in my head.
I get it.
Yeah, Graham. I feel like that is such a hard part to play. Is that not just such a hard part to play? Like, everyone wants your wife to be with this woman. Nobody wants her to be with you. You're kind of a douche.
Douche. Yes.
But
he
why do you
infantilizing douche?
Why do you think he's a villain though? Because he's like all mad about her. I mean, he should be mad about her drinking. Like she did something horrible.
She has like anxiety disorder, and he's like, take a fucking pill and get right with this NRA fundraiser and go put your best foot forward and give me the Sophie I know you can be.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't believe he didn't die.
It's tough. It's tough. Well, you know what? He's incredible in real life. Like, he's such a dreamboat of a human being. He's married to, you know, Zasha Mamet from Girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are just the coolest, funnest, most wonderful couple. So I'm saying, that's why he gets to stick around. And
all right, well, he gets a pass. He's married to Shosh. He gets a pass.
Yeah, he's married to Shosh. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
We saw some BTS on your Instagram from the making of the show.
God. And what did I post?
You got a gun. You're a pistol packing.
We had gun classes, which it's not been my first time. My God, I shot so many guns on Scandal, but those were handguns, and these are like hunting guns, which I did not know. Again, growing up in New York, I did not grow up in a. I think I have some distant uncles or something that hunt, but it's not in my nuclear family. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much about it, but when we were there working, I mean, there's a whole line of women's hunting guns called Siren, I think, mm-hmm. where the guns are like bedazzled.
Yes.
They're pink and purple, and we got to like pick out all this shit and like go hunt some boar. I mean, it was... I like it though. I mean, I didn't like the shooting range. I think Malin, she's such a badass. Like, she kind of liked it. I'm just scared the whole time. I don't really like it. I don't even like holding them. So I find it interesting that I keep playing characters that are like gun people. But I'm just like, ugh, the minute they're around, I'm like, I just thought I was going to be kind of doing like walk and talks on like the West Wing. I didn't know I was going to be doing any of this.
Okay, so spoiler for anyone who's listening and has not watched the show. You do get shot dead
like
a boar in the forest.
Yeah,
but they you get taken out. But you're also the wife of a preacher. So is there any chance you come back to life in season two? Do you rise from the dead? Is Jilly really dead?
Right. Well, I don't know anything for sure. It hasn't even been made official that there will be a second season, which is just insane.
There's got
to be. Yeah, it's literally insane. I think anything is – what's great about the show is that anything is possible, truly. Like, she has made it clear that anything is possible. I would love nothing more than for Brad to be – sleeping with someone at Baylor, if he can get over his heartbreak that his mother is dead, that she's like a ghost in the corner.
Yes.
Or, you know, the husband, the preacher can't handle raising the son on his own. So Jilly Bean's got a really cute younger sister who needs to come and move in and help take care of the family. Who the hell knows? Anything is possible. I'm game. Just tell me when to get on a flight to Charlotte and I am there. But I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. So guys, take to that social media. Make it known.
Oh, we have been. We have been. Here's another one. How would Olivia Pope clean up Sophie's murder problem?
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
What's wrong with her?
It's bad. I don't think Olivia Pope would take the case, in all
honesty. You know what?
I honestly just don't think she'd take the case. I don't think she's going to Texas. You know, like, all of our clients always came to D.C., and I guess Sophie was in Boston, so that's just a hop, skip, and a jump. Mm-hmm. But I don't think – I think Olivia would be like – and Olivia dealt with some real – nasty people, but I don't get the vibe that this, I think she'd be like, go to the other competitive firm that's less than us.
That's problematic.
Go to the discount. Go to the discount version of
And then you did mention you've done so much. You're Quinn on Scandal forever. I have to be a little bit of a nerd. I had tickets for your first night on Waitress because I was because I'm a little super fan of yours, and so
you
I was there first night. Yeah, I loved it. It was so good. But you've been
are
on Broadway.
So nice.
No, you're fun.
That's the
you're so fun.
Nicest thing I've ever heard. Where do you live?
In New York.
Oh my God, I love you. I love New York. I'm coming. I think.
Well, let's go see a show.
Let's hang out.
Let's go see a show.
I haven't seen Death Becomes Her yet. I hear it's the most fun.
Oh,
I've seen like everything else. But all right. Okay, keep going.
Broadway? No, but here's just my question.
Yes, please.
You've been Quinn. You've been Jilly. You've been on Broadway. What's your most fun medium? What do you like most, TV or Broadway?
Theater forever and ever.
Yeah.
I mean, theater is my like. Look, I think it's the hardest. I think it's the least practical. I think theater is fucking nuts. It's the Olympics of acting. It is bad. Okay. Like, it should be reversed. Like, you know, TV, you get paid really well, and there's somebody running around asking if you want water that's room temp or cold. And that's really nice. Broadway, you are I also, showing up to work at 8 o'clock at night is really hard for me. Like, I'm a morning person. But Broadway is just like, you know, I remember being on our first rehearsals for Waitress, and I was like singing for like 8 hours. And I was like, can I just get like a little bit of water? And they were like, the vending machine's downstairs. I mean, Broadway is hardcore. Those actors and actresses that are in the chorus busting their ass. I mean, it is a service industry thing. Like, you're doing a show on Thanksgiving, you're doing a show on New Year's, you're doing a show, maybe not one, two, but one on Christmas. Like, you don't get to live. And what I like about TV is that you can, you know, you have weekends off and you can still sort of, you know, Broadway, you have Mondays off. But the thrill of the acting part of it, I'm a sucker for a live audience. I'm just a sucker for a live audience.
I mean, who doesn't want the clapping?
That's it. Like, and there's something that feels so, as much as you hate going to the vending machine to get your own water, you also feel like, yeah, I'm hardcore. This is like, you know, this is what I grew up doing. This is what I know. But I can remember when we started doing Broadway, I was so scared that my voice was going to hold out. Like, because I'd never done, you know, a 6-month run of anything. So I was like walking in with a scarf on and a personalized nebulizer and not going out to restaurants after the shows because I didn't want to talk over loud people and all this crap. And the woman I shared my dressing room with, I was like, what's your warm up? Like, this is going to be my warm up. And she was like, I drink a Pepsi. Like, she did, like real hardcore Broadway people. They're so good at it. And then I have to say, by the end of the third or fourth month, I had sort of turned into like a Pepsi bitch. Like, I was sort of like,
you're a grizzled.
I'm out till 4 a.m. My voice is fine. I can sneak in a cigarette. Like, bad. Like, I was a bad behaved, and I loved it. So I hope I get to go back someday. I really, and it doesn't even need to be Broadway. Like,
Hunting Wives the Musical.
Hunting Wives the Musical. First of all, Brittany Snow is a great singer.
Yes, she is.
Malin Ackerman's a great singer. She Hunting does like amazing.
Guys, it just happened.
Guys,
you go.
Everyone's always bugging me for the Scandal musical, but I think your better idea is the Hunting Wives
Hunting
musical.
Hunting Wives musical. It's bigger.
Original
cast.
It's like Hamilton.
It's like Hamilton, the Hamilton. Like, we could have it like a whole, that would be literally the most fun ever. Also, if Jill comes back or her sister, she could run the church choir. And that's how we could like get in some singing, dancing sort of thing. But I love New York. I'm from there, but we shot Inventing Anna there.
Oh, that's
that
right.
That was another show that, I have a Netflix trifecta going right now. Thank you, Netflix. If you want to employ me again, Jill is dead and I'm available. But Scandal, Inventing Anna, and Hunting Wives are all on Netflix.
Amazing.
What the hell?
Back to Hunting Wives briefly. Are there any actors that were on the cast that you wish that you'd gotten the chance to do more scenes with?
I had nothing with Salazar, Karen Rodriguez, and she's an amazing actress.
I really loved everyone. I know that's so fucking lame, but there's something special about when you shoot in LA, you go to work and you go home. And as much as a pain in the ass it is to travel for work, and I was away from my kids and that was really hard, there's also something very bonding about like the cast being in Charlotte. And this was a very exceptionally nice, cool cast where they had left their families in LA. And so we all went to Coyote Joe's like for real all the time. Like we went to the honky tonk bar all the time. And what sucks is that when they get a season two, they're not going to be able to go there because they're going to need like
right.
a section that nobody talks to them. But like Chrissy, me, Mollin, Jamie Ray Newman, Brittany Snow, Evan Jonikite, Dermot. Like we were – Dermot – he has a great country band. We would go
what?
See his band.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What's
it's
the
with
band
his
called?
Brother. Oh my God. It's with his brother. But look it up. He's in it. Dermot plays like 8,000 instruments. And we all took real line dancing classes and – drank and rode the bull and would be there when the lights came on at 3 a.m. and then would get pizza. I mean, it was like fun.
Whoa.
It was fun. Like very, very fun. And a world I've never been to a honky tonk line dancing bar. And turns out I love it.
Katie, have you been to Stud Country?
I've been hearing about this. No.
Oh my God. Okay. Well,
it's
I
on
live
the
in
east
LA.
Side, right?
It is. It's in Echo Park. It's like along that stretch of Sunset between Echo Park and like downtown. There's like a place called Club Bahia. And I think it's like Tuesday nights. I don't know. I've been before and I was like the only me and like a mom friend of mine. We were like, where are the moms? There's all these like really, really like attractive, stylish LGBTQ people. Everybody has cowboy boots. Everybody does the dances. Like it is so
I'm going. I'm going like this Saturday.
You have to.
I loved the whole experience and the cast was so freaking great. And I just wish, honestly, I just wish we had had more hunting wives scenes. Like, that's where I had the most fun. And I know we had a lot. Like, we hunted and we danced and we did the Never Have I Ever. But I could do that shit all the time because it's, like, really improv-y. And the scene just sort of happens on its own because it's just, like, us being, like, catty women with thick accents and ridiculous clothes. Like, it was – I could do that all the time.
I mean, that's what I think was so brilliant about the show. Like, my husband was like, is it good? And I'm like, yes, it's good because it's a show where, like, the characters are well known. Like, every character says exactly what that character would say in every scene they're in and does exactly what that character would do in that scene. And it, like, I hate to be, like, nerdy about this, but it's so refreshing to see a show that, like, knows and cares about the characters that
much.
Because a lot of stuff that's on TV, I, like, give up because I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Why is
he doing this? And Hunting Wives was, like, front to back. Like, yep,
we
that's
got
exactly
it.
What Jilly Bean would do. That's exactly what
– we understood the assignment. We understood. That was also the thing about reading the script the first time. I was like, oh, I understand. Like, I just got the assignment. I was like, this is so fun. I mean, it was like theatrical. It's like so fun. It's big storytelling. It's taking big swings. It's not about nuance and subtlety and saying four lines that really mean a whole thing. Like this was just like in your face. And I thought it was so refreshing.
Okay. We have one last question. We saw you were on vacation with Shonda. Are you two cooking up something we should know about?
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very good friends. Like,
yeah,
she is. I mean, she changed and saved my life. I was a waitress and a babysitter and a personal assistant and a caterer. But we've also just been, you know, she took me through two pregnancies on two different shows. And for that, I will do whatever the hell she wants till the end of time. Even if it includes a vacation to Puerto Vallarta and
just
all the
saying.
Fun things. Just saying, all the fun things we get to do. Yes, her and I are constantly in development on things that hopefully you will be hearing about very soon.
Excellent.
But yes, we are constantly, we have one thing cooking right now that fingers crossed will be happening. Yeah, she's the best. How I have fallen ass backwards into like only powerful, brilliant female showrunners and female number one leads who are awesome. I had a friend over last night and I was like, I don't think I've like ever worked for a man.
Like, that's amazing.
Like, good, honestly, like, I don't, I mean, even Waitress was directed by Diane Paulus, a woman, music written by Sarah Bareilles, a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The book, Jesse, I mean, I've only been on female teams. Like, I don't know, like, men just, like, don't hire me. They're just like, don't get it.
Well, you know what?
You're I don't really care. It's been dream. A great, like, I'm just like, I. That's why I've never been on a set where people are assholes or bad, like, bad behavior doesn't ensue. Like, mm-hmm. I've just, like, I've been over here. Like, it's been amazing. And let's just keep it going.
Yeah. Keep going. Totally. It's also been my experience that female-led and dominated spaces tend to be better.
Realistic.
Yeah. Just like, just that's just what it is. Like, yeah. I'm... Like, I, again, Rebecca Cutter, Brittany Snow, and Mullen, like, I'll go over a cliff for you ladies. Shonda Rhimes, Kerry Washington, like, we good. Then it was Shonda Rhimes again with Julia Garner and Laverne Cox. Like, right. I'm like, this is all great. Like, all of this, just more of. But, yeah, I'm so glad you guys liked it. I'm so glad you guys get it. My dad loved it. That, oh, wait, one last funny story. I'm, oh, yeah, my parents, like, loved it. I
like...
Like, the first week it came out, people were being really, like, sketchy. They were like, we saw your show. they don't want to, like, shout it too loudly because someone might think they're, like, kinky or weird or, like, whatever. Yeah. And now I'm at school drop-off, public school, and the principal, who's the greatest man of all time, is like – he doesn't know any of the moms or dad's names because it's a huge school. So he calls all the moms mommies or daddies or whatever. So he's like, mommy, I'm on a bike with my two kids on the back seat. And he's like, saw your show. I'm like, oh, my God. And he's like, loved it. You know, you're just like, wow, people are really – I'm so glad. I'm like, where? Be proud. Like, you like a wild, crazy, sexy summer binge. Like, good for you. We all need it.
Absolutely. Yes. Did we ever this summer, Katie?
Yes, did we ever. Did.
Thank
did
you so
ever.
Much for joining us. Thank you for making The Hunting Wives and for all the other great stuff you've been involved in. We can't wait to see what you get up to next.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Alyssa, thank you for coming to Waitress.
Oh, yeah.
I love to see you in New York.
Yeah, man.
Hysteria is brought to you by GoPure. Oh my gosh, when I got it in the mail, I mm-hmm. opened it up and I was like, what is this beautiful?
I'm like, what did I order in the middle of the night? And I didn't.
I know, I thought that too, because it looks like something I would order.
It does.
I read the description. I was like, this sounds like something I would order. And then I realized they sponsored the show, but I was like, this is amazing because I would have ordered this had they not sponsored the show.
We are so lucky.
GoPure visibly firms, smooths, and rejuvenates the delicate skin on your neck and chest. You know, as I've headed into my 40s, I've been thinking a lot about that Nora Ephron book, I Feel Bad About My Neck. Because I do feel bad about my neck.
I think about my neck all the time.
I feel like I'd been neglecting my neck for, like, years.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. And there's something designed specifically for the delicate skin down there. I don't necessarily want to put, like, tinted moisturizer on my neck.
No. Or anything too goopy.
No. I don't want to, like, have a ring around the collar. I want something that is designed specifically for that skin, designed specifically to help people who just want to make sure that it's, like, tightened up, firm, well moisturized, well taken care of. We spend so much time caring for the skin on our face, but what about our neck? And with summer in full swing, your neck and chest are more exposed than ever. Whether you're rocking sundresses, swimsuits, or strappy tops, or if you're not, like me.
Or if you're just in a t-shirt.
You just want to feel good about yourself in a scoop neck. Your neck is out there for the world to see, and it's one of the first places to show signs of aging. Don't I know it?
That's why GoPure Beauty created their revolutionary Tighten and Lift Neck Cream, perfect for your summer skincare routine. Powered by clinically proven active ingredients, this advanced formula is designed to visibly firm, smooth, and rejuvenate the delicate skin on your neck and chest in as little as 4 to 8 weeks. Here's the thing. The skin on your neck is thinner, more delicate, and less oily than the skin on your face, which means it needs a little extra love, especially in the sun and heat. GoPure's firming complex targets the unique concerns of the neck while nourishing and strengthening your skin for a more lifted, youthful look. So you can feel confident showing a little more skin this summer. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off GoPure with code HYSTERIA at checkout. Get the summer glow you deserve with GoPure.
With over 1 million jars sold, this beauty secret is no longer a secret. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off Go Pure with code HYSTERIA at checkout. Just head to GoPureBeauty.com, use code HYSTERIA, and you're all set. After you buy, do us a favor. When they ask where you heard about Go Pure, tell them it was from our show. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are kind of low-key relieved to no longer see sorority rush videos on their timeline.
Oh, yeah. It's enough. It's enough.
It's too much. It's too much. You guys can keep that between yourselves, right?
It was funny the first time. Let's put it that way.
But now it's just like, whatever. I'm about to say some very mean and rude things. I think that in this political environment, it's like hard for me to be like, yay, Alabama white people. Love it. Love what you're doing. Everything's great. Everything is great. You're shaking your straight hair around and all of you are white and it's fine. Like, I can't suspend my belief
anymore.
Fair. Sorry. Alabama, you're on notice from me. And in a dramatic pivot from what I was just saying about sorority rush, before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. On New Year's Eve, 1969, a union boss took out a gruesome hit, murdering his rival and most of his rival's family. But that rival's surviving son didn't stand down. He rallied a crew of kids and took on one of the richest, most powerful unions in America to avenge them. Shadow Kingdom Coal Survivor, hosted by Niccolo Minoni, follows Chip Yablonsky, son of the prominent labor leader Jock Labonsky, and features exclusive, unheard home tapes of the victims, including chilling recordings of the killer himself.
The story is being developed by Universal with Cillian Murphy attached, but you can hear the whole wild, true version first on the pod. Trust us, it's insane and so, so good. Listen to the trailer now on the Shadow Kingdom feed on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to subscribe to catch the 2-episode premiere on August 25th. Friends of the Pod subscribers can binge the whole season starting August 25th by joining at cricut.com/friends.
In case you missed it, Alyssa and I have an exclusive YouTube series called This Fucking Guy, where we deep dive into the worst people in politics, business, and beyond. Alyssa, I have to say,
what?
On episodes where I do all the research, I feel like Charlie Day with the bulletin board full of string.
Of course. It's a beautiful mind.
Yes. The latest episode is on Peter Thiel, tech billionaire, secret political puppet master, and possible vampire?
Possible
vampire. The show is really fun to do. We get to learn a lot about these really terrible people.
Very wacky and dark.
Dunk on them. We don't pretend to present like a balanced biography.
No, but it's all true.
We go through their past. We find everything dumb about them, and we talk about it.
But it's all true.
Everything. Yeah, it's all
true. We make nothing up. No liberties taken.
I mean, we make jokes.
Well, jokes are fine.
We make jokes and commentary on true facts. But yeah, there's a whole like list of sources at the end if you decide you want to do your own research and mm-hmm. learn more about these people. But This Fucking Guy is fun for us to do. It feels very cathartic.
Yeah.
We make it so it's a cathartic thing to listen to.
There's an occasional snort. There's an occasional snort on my end.
I have cried from laughing on this show before. You can find all of it on our YouTube channel and on Spotify right now. Just search for Hysteria Podcast on YouTube or This Fucking Guy on Spotify now. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. I got something I'm feeling petty about, Alyssa.
Tell me about it.
I feel like this is a situation just designed to like ignite a culture war, and it's a little bit tiresome. Anyway, the Minnesota Vikings have two male cheerleaders mm-hmm. on the squad this year. They're both beautiful. beautiful. And they're doing pretty much the same dances as the female cheerleaders. So it's not like a college male cheerleader that sits there and like throws an 80-pound girl in the air when she flips around. These guys are doing all the same dances that the women are doing. And one of them has some of the greatest hair I've ever seen on anybody ever.
Enjoying themselves.
Yeah. They're having a good time. They're enjoying themselves. Of course, there's been some backlash in conservative spaces. And it is so dumb that any man would be like, hey, how dare a man cheer for football? I'm here to cheer for football. Like, you know what
I
mean?
Right.
Like, you're here to, you're doing the same thing. You're the one dressed up like the guys on the field, too. Who's gayer? Like the guy dancing in a totally separate uniform, or you dressed up in another man's work uniform to show up and scream at him? Like, come on. It's football. It's fun. It is. It's supposed
fun.
It's supposed to be a big tent. I mean, I'm sure in 30 years or so, we will view professional football playing the same way we viewed Betty Draper smoking while pregnant in Mad Men.
Right.
But for now, whatever. It's a sport that people enjoy watching. But there has been some backlash. I mean, there have been people on the right that are like, come on, guys, who cares? Right. Like Tommy Lauren, who this is making
what
her
she
second,
have to say
second mention. She's just like, come on, guys, who cares? Same thing as this is a rare Tommy Lauren, Aaron Ryan overlap. We're both like,
okay.
Who cares? But you know, there are people who just like could not resist. Like the usual suspects in the conservative gadfly space could not resist. Senator Tommy Tuberville, America's dumbest senator. He is the dumbest senator, right? By like,
yeah.
If I were Ron Johnson, I would be glad that Tommy Tuberville was in the Senate, and I would be very sad that he's about to leave to run for governor of Alabama, because he is the dumbest senator, and everyone else dumb in the Senate benefits from his presence because it makes them seem less dumb. Okay, Tommy Tuberville publicly criticized the NFL for adding male cheerleaders. Speaking on OutKick, he said, "What the hell are you doing? If you're going to be woke, try to take the men out of men's sports. We're going to try to make it more about gender than masculinity." And he warned that this could alienate fans in conservative regions like the South and predicted downturns in support for the NFL. Kevin
really?
Sorbo. Kevin Sorbo, actor who definitely works a lot in high-profile projects, said on X, "I've been a Vikings fan all my life. Sigh, I need a new team now." Oh, my God. Your masculinity is like a wet paper bag, my dude. If like a female, if a male cheerleader doing high kicks can like bust through your masculinity.
Doing some tumbling, it's like, I mean, this is like all the thing now. People are getting into it. Have you watched the Bananas?
The Savannah Bananas?
The Savannah Bananas.
I went and saw them at like Angel Stadium in
They're
Anaheim.
Incredible.
It was
bunch
a
of men
it was
who
so
dance,
fun. Well, there was a
do
woman.
Ballet.
There's a woman who pitches for the Bananas.
Well, there's a woman. I'm just saying, the last performance I saw by the Bananas was a single man who danced to Celine Dion.
Oh.
And
the
it
Savannah
was
Bananas are 100%.
Incredible.
They're 100%.
Family-friendly.
They're family-friendly, but also Magic Mike adjacent. Because they're not taking their clothes off, but they're all, like, athletic, muscly men.
And they're amazing.
And who are playing to the crowd. Like, it's great. It was a very fun activity, although my daughter was running around with one of our friend's sons and did, like, take a tumble and skin both of her knees when we were standing in line to get her a Savannah Bananas shirt. So, I just think, like, if you're a man and you're threatened by men who are expressing themselves differently, being in the same space as you, like, fucking grow the fuck up.
Grow up.
Grow
they don't
up.
They don't want you at those games anyway because you're a bummer.
I just can't I can't imagine being at a sporting event, watching somebody who also was enjoying the sporting event, celebrating how much they're enjoying it in a different way than I would. Cheerleaders bother me. I don't love like dance teams in the middle of a basketball. You know what I mean? Like it's always felt a little odd to me. But like, I'm not going to be like, I fucking hate the NBA now because they have a dance team. You know, like get these ladies.
Well, right.
Whatever. It's whatever. Jesse Kelly, who I've been on a TV show with before.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I used to be on Essie Cupp's show, and so she would always have like these conservative people. So like Jesse Kelly and like a few people who are like now with the Trump administration, I've definitely been in green rooms with before. Jesse Kelly said of the male cheerleader situation, "Don't think for a second the enemy is defeated. We're finally engaged. Smile about that, but we have much, much work to do."
What does that even mean?
I just think that all of these people want to enforce an imaginary version of gender essentialism that involves, like, every man is, like, a special ops highly trained movie man, and every woman is like a, you know, a Christopher Nolan side piece type. You know, not mm-hmm. the anyway. It's dumb. So what I'm feeling petty about is like, I can't believe that this is a thing that conservatives are like getting their panties in a twist over. You know, like there's so many more important things.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I can't even believe that it had to be a story.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like we should talk about it because it's like gender.
Oh, no, I don't mean that no. you, I don't mean, I don't, I mean that, that Tommy, that a United States senator had to opine, that people had to take to social media to be like, let me tell you why this is fucked up. And it's like, why can't it just be?
Why are you so threatened by a man, like, not acting the same way that you act? Like, that's so weird to me. Like, I bet that it's the same type of guy who, like, won't buy yogurt that isn't branded for men called, like, Ramrod yogurt or something.
Well, also,
like that.
Can I just say something?
What?
Some of the manliest men, fucking Patrick Swayze, danced like a motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Tu Wong Fu,
John Travolta.
Yes. Well, Patrick Swayze in Tu Wong Fu is in drag the whole movie.
Exactly.
And like, anyway, whatever.
I'm just saying, they're like missing so many points.
We lost the plot, you know?
Lost the plot.
The plot, it has been lost. Anything but talk about the Epstein files, right? Anything but talk about the Epstein
files. We will keep talking about the Epstein files.
Yes, we will. Okay, Alyssa, Sandy, you're petty this week.
Oh, I'm petty. I'm so petty. I wanted to be Sandy, but I'm so petty because as we were getting ready for the show, I saw an article for Daily Beast. It was many other places because the Trump administration posted it to Instagram. Trump Truth Social, whatever the fuck it was on, is that the other day we saw Trump hosted Zelensky, sundry other European leaders who were there to make sure that nothing went too crazy like it did the last time. And Aaron, after they were done with their meeting and lunch, or at some point, Trump decided to take Macron, president of France, and Zelensky, who's there just trying to keep his country in one piece. He was like, listen, guys, come with me. I got something crazy to show you. So he took them. There are two reasons I'm petty about this. One, he took them to see his merch collection. Aaron, he has a merch collection. It has shelves. There's like a curio cabinet with books about himself and like very high-end merch. There was a gold Trump hat in there I saw. But he brought two foreign leaders who were here to talk about war to his closet, which looks like something from a Real Housewives. Like it looks like something he saw on Real Housewives, was inspired and had recreated. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like reading the article and it's like, first of all, the hats on display that are under a crystal chandelier. One of the hats says, Trump was right about everything. The other says, Gulf of America. There's some Trump 2028 hats, a lot of four more years. It has real pop-up vibes. But then when I was looking, I was like, wait, where could this be? I'm like, you have the Oval, there's the dining room, there's the bathroom. And I'm not positive, Aaron, but I am fairly certain that what has historically been the president's private study, Trump turned into a merch closet off the Oval Office.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The QVCification of America continues apace.
And thought not for one second that with the serious business at foot, that he was like, you know what? Macron's tan. Maybe he was golfing. Maybe he was enjoying his summer. Maybe he's not as serious as I think he is. Let me take Macron and Zelensky into the merch closet. So yeah, that happened. And I just, there were so many things about it that were terrible, but I just had to share it.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day we will, as a country, have a giant bonfire of Trump merch. Like
thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. It was a great one.
Oh,
feeling
we killed
so energized. It.
It
was so much fun. Katie Lowe's, what a national treasure.
Just a delight.
If you haven't watched The Hunting Wives and you want to watch something bonkers, you please
run,
watch
don't
it.
Walk.
I promise you, just don't watch it where children can see.
Yeah.
Children or easily offended people who don't like to look at boobies or hot pink strap-ons.
Murder.
And murder. I mean, the murder is like something you can literally turn on, you know, network television and see a murder. You can't boobies and strap-ons on network television. But, like, boobies and strap-ons don't hurt anybody. They make people feel good. Why are we allowed to show things on TV that make people feel bad and kill them, but not boobies and strap-ons?
You're right. Let it be.
Anyway, Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die, per usual. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. If you're not already a YouTube subscriber, just search for Hysteria Podcast on YouTube and hit the subscribe button. We've got a lot of fun stuff up there. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.